Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and today we're diving into how life's hardest moments can actually become portals to beauty, tenderness, and deep soul growth. My guest is Jennifer Swanson, an intuitive parenting guide and trauma-informed practitioner. Jennifer shares her powerful journey parenting her daughter and how she moved from trying to fix her to seeing her through the eyes of awe, soul strength, and unconditional love. We explore the messy parts of life as invitations into deeper tenderness, parenting a child with extra needs, grief over lost expectations, and unexpected gifts, how our nervous system's inner child work and intuitive listening transform the parent-child bond, reclaiming play, creativity, and simple practices that help us feel grounded and supported. If you're a parent, a caregiver, or anyone walking through a challenging chapter, this conversation will remind you that even in the toughest situations, you are being invited closer to yourself and that there is beauty woven through it all. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you in that episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to the Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm sitting down with Jennifer Swanson. And Jennifer and I met years ago through Dr. Shefali's program and then in Susie Lula classrooms. And I think we've both done our own trainings even from those offshoots. But Jennifer's here. We kind of picked a theme and we'll see how much we stick to it. But one of the themes is going to be accessing the gifts and the beauty of life through our experiences. We'll probably go down many different paths, though, Jennifer, based on the work you do, which is so fascinating. So I just want to welcome you here first.
Oh, thank you so much, Maureen. And it is such a joy to be back speaking with you again. I have been looking forward to this for weeks.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a really rich and juicy conversation here.
I do too. And we were saying before we recorded, because I've said this a few times probably, but not a lot. I always do a little bit of intention setting and gathering of our energies and sort of putting directionality or focus on not only what we might be covering today, but also any sort of guidance that's here for us, anyone surrounding us from our ancestry or whether it's any spirit guides or whatever it is, but just bringing together intentionality and saying that you and I don't always physically have the touch points, but that the beauty of when you meet somebody, even if it's years ago, that we are in each other's fields. And even though we're not on the phone all the time, I think that one thing that stands out to me about you is that you hold so much compassion and so much kindness. And to me, when I met you, it was like, well, she's a shoo-in to do the kind of work she's doing. Because when you come with that presence right there, that's a lot of the work, it feels like.
Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that. And it feels like a good segue to actually come into this conversation because, you know, life is lifey. And sometimes it can feel like life is giving you a lot of middle fingers. I have definitely felt a lot of middle fingers coming my way, you know?
Yeah.
But every single one of them has been an opening to more tenderness in one area of my life or another.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think my life has just become devoted to beauty and tenderness.
That is gorgeous. Yeah. I know for myself too, that I seem to be going into new territory that's also asking me to open up even more and receive, because I went to write an email newsletter, which never got sent this week, because sometimes I just play with different topics. And I always think about how when you're in the world of spirituality, that you hear a lot of language and words over and over. And it might be things like allowance or surrender or receiving, like, are you receiving or are you coming from abundance? Or just all these different kind of concepts or qualities, whatever you want to call them. And that they're really layered. Like you think that you got it. You think, and I know we're not naive enough to think that we've mastered it, right? Like, oh, I've mastered surrender or I've mastered allowance. But that's the one thing about life that it's my big teacher, and that it will bring around something like right now for me, it's receiving, like showing myself and receiving the love that's there for me, the love that is there to hold me and be tender with me. It allows me, it's, I don't want to say it allows, I'm being invited to fall into that. And when you say, like, it comes for you again and again, like these middle fingers, whatever they are, there's beauty in it. And I think that that's what we're kind of saying at the top, too, even though at sometimes it feels dense or it feels like, oh, really? Like, wow, this is a little uncomfortable.
I know so many times I've joked like, please just send a feather. I promise I'll listen, but we don't because the feathers do come and then we don't take them and we don't listen to them. And so that's when the bigger things are gonna start showing up and coming into our lives. I think about, what an immense journey I've had with my daughter who has intellectual disability. She's 15 now. I was actually just reflecting on the power of her soul, with everything that she has been through and the way that she carries herself through the world with a scoliosis, with, developmental coordination disorder, with a speech impediment. I don't know anyone stronger than her. And I am absolutely amazed by her. And I feel like the more that I see her through those eyes, the more she just continues to surprise me and amaze me and do things I never thought she would do.
Amazing.
And then it's just like that love and that appreciation and that awe of her, it just has the opportunity to keep growing. And it's interesting. It's like once I guess I should rewind just a tiny bit and just say that, from the time my daughter was a year and a half old, I had been fed by medical practitioners with the best interest at heart that there was a lot of things wrong with my daughter and that there was a lot of fixing to be done. I remember going home with binders of information and saying to one of the occupational therapists, I don't know how much of the time I'm supposed to be a mom and how much of a time I'm supposed to be a parent. And she told me 75% of the time you're to be the therapist. And I never got to appreciate and enjoy the beautiful little being that was right in front of my eyes. It's never too late. I'm doing it now. And our relationship has changed so much. And
That's a
I just
right.
want everyone to see that. Dolores Cannon, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but I remember listening to a talk from her many years ago where she said that souls actually fight over disabled bodies
Do they?
because it's one of the hardest, most soul-strengthening journeys that you can take. And I remember just thinking, that was like a pivotal shift for me, And then, in thinking about my daughter and, the amount of soul that she has to push through and to have walked through the fire of everyone being kind of thinking she's broken and then to be standing in front of me in so much strength, it actually made me reflect on myself. What is the power of my soul to be, caring for someone who is like this in the world? And I know
Absolutely.
this is not the typical kind of talk that we have about kids that are experiencing neurodivergency, and there are a lot of struggles and there's a lot of grief. There really is. Like even for me, recently I was on a walk and I bumped into a friend and she was talking about how She's spending the holidays with her grandkids and their families and their extended families. And I realized in that moment, I am not going to have grandkids, unless I remarry one day into a family that has a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That's not going to be my experience. And
Yeah.
so things like this come up,
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Jennifer. And it's the all of it. And I am imagining you as a younger mom, who you were at that time, because I don't know about you, but I didn't know any of these concepts, right? And so it's just more a world based in sort of black and white or duality and here, try this. And like you're saying, there's something to fix. And it's such a beautiful thing that she chose you as her mother. She chose this woman, this soul who was going to have this heart opening and this curiosity to go down these paths that led you to beautiful teachings to allow you to see, like, not just another perspective, but a myriad of perspectives. And so I imagine this has been this just multi-year process for you that just keeps on having you go deeper and understand things just expansively, I guess.
Yeah, and I think too, like having a child with extra needs will be your greatest mirror. It's like the things they will ask of you, they'll ask you to be okay to be different. They'll ask you okay to be okay being seen differently, to do things that are non-conventionally. They'll ask you to be so patient, to go against the flow. They'll ask you to be so present. And
All of
for
it.
the kids that are, not communicative, are you okay with being quiet? How settled is your nervous system? And all of these things are really, really hard when they're struggles for us. But if we can actually zoom out, that's where the gift lies. All of the qualities that they are asking from us, the unconditional love, the unconditional acceptance, the willing to, love, quote unquote, the unlovable, all of that is the gift.
Yeah, it's
The
amazing.
people who come into your life that love you and accept you and your child, they're going to be of the highest quality because there isn't room for anything else,
That's so beautiful. Yeah. And once you started to discover these things and you're like, oh, wow. And you were focusing on the connection between the two of you, understanding her differently, is that a reason that once you began to understand things in a different way or see things in a different way, that led you to also wanting to support others because you knew that it could be so different?
Absolutely. I remember a few years ago when my daughter and I first joined Special Olympics, which shout out to Special Olympics, it's the most amazing organization. Like, if you want your cup filled, go and volunteer there. It is an experience like no other. Anyways, back to the story. Joining Special Olympics, and when my daughter was younger, all the parents had to actually be there with their kids. And I remember really hoping to make community and make friends there. And going in, and the first question that was always asked of me is, what's wrong with your child? And then the follow-up was, this is what my child has. And I just remember feeling like there has to be another way, like this has to get out more, because I'm seeing their kids through my eyes, through the eyes of love. And I'm not seeing that happening here. I'm seeing kids running around having fun. Yes, they've got their headphones on. They're doing what they need to do in a world that really is kind of challenging for them. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one of those instances where we say, like, okay, I'm not really loving what I'm hearing, and it's also here for me to transform in some way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know too, like, I know you've had such a rich life experience with, your health and many other things. And it's like these really hard things that we go through, those are the moments that the invisible net kind of comes in, right? Those are the moments that actually like fortify our soul into our being. Like, it really pushes you to really be anchored in yourself. And to know yourself.
Oh, wow.
After my divorce, I, for many, many years, had experienced parental alienation with my daughter. And, as connected to her as I had always been, and how much energy I had invested in her, I was devastated. I didn't know what to do with myself, but I also didn't know who I was outside of being her parent and being her therapist and being all the other things. And it was like that experience made me want to be a conscious parenting coach because I wanted that relationship back so badly. And then I realized going into, I don't know about you, but when I joined Dr. Shefali's Collective, I was like, what is going on here? Like, when are we going to talk about the kids? It's great, enough about me, but when are we going to talk about the kids? And it was like the third or fourth week that I realized we're not going to talk about the kids.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's so true.
It's me. And yeah, so that journey has been wildly powerful. And in the end, it was like once my inner child started feeling safe with me, so did my daughter's. It was like the whole time that's what she was waiting because our nervous systems are so interconnected.
Oh, that's cool. So say more about that, how we're interconnected and whether or not they were birthed through you. I mean, the amount of time we spend with our children or anyone, any loved one in our life, but say more about that. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, we are so interconnected. You can feel it even when you walk in a room and you know that everyone's just been talking about you or they don't like you. You feel it. Our kids, and especially the kids with extra needs and extra sensory stuff, they're feeling and hearing absolutely everything that's going on. And oftentimes, when a brain isn't developed in one area, it's hyper developed in another. It doesn't mean that it hasn't developed. And so we don't even know what that experience is. And also, when you've been around someone and their energy is very chaotic and they're constantly complaining, and it's, we feel that and we start to take that on versus when we are around someone who's very settled and, feels good in themselves and everything feels okay in the world, we kind of start to take that on. So it's like whoever is holding the highest vibration in the room, that's the one who's going to set the tone.
Yeah, that's going to
It's so
invite just energetically for that to come up. What do you think is the middle ground for that in terms of, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. When one energy is lower and you can hold that, and as a human being, you have a lot of feelings going on and a lot of emotions. Do you think it's like, is it really the dance of all of it and really like how you use the word tenderness to begin with, that tenderness with ourselves? Okay, you're feeling something come up, you're having an emotion. How have you taken care of yourself as a mom, a caregiver?
well, I mean, we are human, right? So we can put up with this for so long, but then at some point we're gonna, we might drop down into the what is happening, So we have to have grace and we have to have patience. And I always say this, but you actually have to have patience with patience. Like it is a never-ending unfolding into the cosmos event to be patient, right? Even the impatience is part of the patience.
And I think when you become like when you're talking about your own journey, you're making me laugh when you say about the Shefali program and when are we going to talk about the kids? Because I remember finishing that program and being like, okay, I'm calling myself a conscious parenting coach now, but please God, let no one ask me about how to have a kid like get to bed on time or eat their vegetables because I am not your person for that.
It's so simple. Like, I think there is infinite resources out there for parents, and you can take it all in. And yes, some of it is useful, but in the moment when you're stressed and the back of your brain is what's running the show, you can't actually access the front of your brain, your prefrontal cortex, the part that's making smart decisions. You know what I mean? And so it really has to be so simple. Like, can you respect yourself in that moment? But can you also respect your child? And you know, when we teach our kids how to repair, then when things like happen that are really hard, because we've modeled it and we've come back and repaired after we've blown up and done something, and we really show them the respect that they deserve in that moment, they come back and do the same thing, or
That's
they get
cool.
ahead of it. You know, they actually can be more advanced in it than even we can if they've grown up in it, because this is new for us, you know?
Yes. And you said something about the inner child work you've done. And this is the neat thing, because when you explore different trainings and you've learned from your different teachers and then your life experience, it's sort of that blending of the best of. And I think that we can't downplay that our lived experience might be the header to it all, right? But the ways in which you learn to be with yourself and understand your needs or what you may not have gotten as a child, and to come back again and again. And sometimes we're not in the place to do that work, but then life invites us back to be with that younger part of ourselves. And that's what I was going to say too. Something about what you were saying just a couple of minutes ago, when we can start to almost be outside of ourselves and be a witnesser to what's going on. Oh, I think it was when you were saying being patient with patience, right? Like you can almost see yourself doing it. And that reminds me of the untethered soul when he talks about like there's a part of you watching yourself that, shows that it's not just us in this form, that there must be the multidimensional part of ourself.
Absolutely. I love that so much. And I think too, I haven't read Untethered Soul. It's on my book list for sure. But yeah, I think everything, like you said, is a spiral. We come back to it over and over. And then for me, my personal journey is just to keep coming back and opening to more tenderness with myself and others. And then that comes back to that part where you said, how do you hold someone when they're in a different place than you? Well, you know, it's a mirror. How do you hold yourself when you're in that place? You know, if you can be tender with yourself when you're having that day, it's not going to affect you so much. It's going to be an opportunity to say, you know, if it's your child, you're having a really tough day. And how can we make this the best tough day ever? What do you need? Let's get the pillows, let's get the blankets, you know, and like, really take care of ourselves.
We were sort of invoking that element of play and of joy and sort of just lightness today, I think. And when you do think of, I think recently I was in that place of like, what did I need or little Maureen so desire, so want to experience as a kid. And we might have glimpses of having experienced it like here and there and there. And I find that really fascinating because those become standout little memories in our mind, right? Because I think there was a tenderness and a connection. But then if the rest of the, if your caregivers were in survival or there was just the instability or whatever it is, that then it may be that there wasn't a lot of that. And I think that that's what I'm hearing you say today too, just from the standpoint of like, oh my gosh, like it just reminds me, I should say, of like, oh, just how much tenderness little kids need. And they just so crave it.
And they also need this opportunity, like I know for myself and so many others, when we grow up, we're supposed to have an adult who sees some, when we bring something to them to say, that's amazing, show me more, and then show me more, and then show me more. But so many of us didn't get that. You know what I mean? And so that's where, you know, the not wanting to shine piece comes in, right? And we all deserve that, no matter the circumstances, right?
And it becomes for many of us looking in all the wrong places for it until we get that kind of memo that says, oh, okay, I'm supposed to go back to myself. Okay.
And
Which is
like, I'm
exceptional.
curious for you, what were the things when you were little that most brought you joy?
Well, a therapist a long time ago said this to me that my siblings and I still enjoy pretty connected relationships because we were there for one another when we maybe were not getting what we needed from our parents. And I was like, oh,
Pink.
that's really pretty. And so that's such a neat question. I think it was just the joy of play. And again, that was the age of innocence, right? We had toys, we had nature, we had just being outside. And for me, I think it was probably, it wasn't like I can say, oh, it was all outdoors and it was all making the clearing in the woods with fallen tree and the, making a broom. Not as much joy, I think, from the playing with the Barbies and the dolls and the fun that we had inside too, So, but it was really, for me, I probably didn't do a lot of solo play because I had five siblings. And so that was where we kind of created. How about you?
Well, in saying that, before I answer, it makes me curious, like, is that been a bit of a journey for you to find out what just you on your own want to be doing, creatively and through play?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think so. I think it's a, I always think it's a funny thing too when we discover because I'm in my mid 50s now, and it is a beautiful thing that this can be the time of life that we're like, oh wow, how do I play? How do I want to go? And for me right now, it's not yet, people have said like, oh, maybe you need to go take a dance class or, like you think of those things like an art class. For me, I think it's inviting in actually some stillness and quiet, but also moving because the ways that I learned to move as a younger person was always like, you're going to go running, you're going to do 5 miles, you're going to run a half marathon, you're going to run a marathon. And it was definitely movement was tied to being very strong and doing the workout and all the things. And now it's like my play right now feels like it's coming through movement, but super gentle. Just it can be that walk. It doesn't have to be a speed walk. It can be. So for me, it's my theme recently seems to be simplicity and slowing down. And, just being with that because I, like yourself, I'm sure, am always surrounded by so many different mystical, kind of spiritual, all these things. And before, I think it was February 17th in the year of the fire horse, it was like the fire horse is coming. Like we're all going to just be galloping into the sunset. And if anything, I'm like, whoa, my world seems like it's really trying to recalibrate itself right now. This
You're
is
like, not my horse,
yeah, this is
not my
more
horse.
my
My
experience.
horse needs a drink of water and a snack.
Totally. But back to our childhood. I mean, that's what I'm feeling right now.
I feel that too. I think, the interesting thing is my younger sister was diagnosed with leukemia when I was 9, and I feel like play got cut off for me at that age. But
Yeah,
again,
that's
coming back to the accessing the gift, now I have this daughter who is 15 who still likes to pretend play. And so I'm still in this imaginative world with her where, like, in the morning, I turn into this Italian chef named Mariano. She comes and she orders after I flip open the open sign. And then the stories that come out of the two of us back and
That's
forth.
amazing.
And we've got this weird gym teacher that sometimes shows up who has to get kicked out. We're laughing and we're having the best time. And I don't even know where any of this is coming from, And so I am still getting to play. And so we do still have these opportunities. And I know, like, for myself, play is one of the things that gives me vitality. And for a long time, I didn't appreciate it about my daughter. I'm like, you're 10. I don't want to play anymore. Just go on your own. But then I realized, she went through probably 6 to 8 months where she didn't want to do that, but she also wasn't herself. And when I brought it back, I was so appreciative that it was back. And I was so appreciative of what it was doing to me as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's reminding me of creativity because play is so intertwined with creativity, right? And for so many of us, I mean, you hear so many adults say, I'm not creative. I'm not creative. Oh, I was never the creative one. And I'm like, wait a minute. What I'm finding out is I was not that necessarily the artist. But I think I was told that too. I was probably picking up on what you're creating in art class isn't as good as, Sally over there or Jane or whoever it was, right? And that was not true. That's based in comparison. I mean, you said to me recently that you got, after we talked, I think it was, that you went and were painting, and you were painting in layers, and you were just free flowing, allowing, having fun.
Well, and this comes back to the gift conversation again, because I was actually, assaulted by a man and his dog on a trail, and it threw off my inner sense of safety so greatly. I couldn't get it back for a week. And, I had been kind of dabbling with art. I wanted to be an artist as a kid, but, saving had the not good enough idea. Anyways, for some reason, I was like, you know what? I just got to listen to my intuition here. I'm going to paint out all of my feelings. And when I did, I couldn't believe it. Like I told you, there was layers on layers of different paintings and clouds and tears and ocean water. And, there was a swan and then a duckling. And then I put brown all over it and then smeared some green. And then when I stepped away and came back, it looked like the dog that had approached me. And it was an aha freaking moment, I gotta tell you. And it opened up the world of art to me so hugely that I am now like in this mini class this week for the week from art to life. I can't
Have
recommend
fun.
that channel enough. It's all about abstract painting and it's so beautiful. We're making these art journals right now where, we think of all the things that really light us up and give us life. And then we pick one of them and we find quotes and songs and then we listen to it and then we just let it come out of our body onto
Ooh.
the paper, not for anyone else, but just for us
Yeah,
and in a
right.
group. And it's just been so beautiful. And it's like, if that had not happened, I don't think I would have opened that door. And there's been so many experiences like that, all of the doorways that come afterwards.
Absolutely. And that's in that process of the art class. It's really cool because it feels like it brings all the senses alive. And that's what I keep on, like with every interview, with every conversation, it feels like there's another layer of knowing. When I was talking to someone, Alethea, and she was talking about how our skin has sensors all over it, right? So it's almost like when you're talking about the process of the creation, it's like the colors, the sounds, the memories, the like it's just all being integrated. So it's,
It is, and it's like the unconscious mind coming through and also the opportunity to lead, to use your intuition, to pick up two tubes of paint and decide in that moment, this blue is what I feel really called toward, and just keep following that, just keep following those threads, not caring what it's going to look like. And art is just been like this very interesting opening to me too, because it's like, I was doing this painting and I noticed my perfectionism in it all. And I want to give up. And I want to give up. And I this isn't for me. It's just like they said, I shouldn't be doing this. And then I come back to it. I give myself a break and I come back to it. And then I keep working at it and keep working at it. And then I end up loving what I created after. And it's not for anyone else, but it's for me. But I'm like, that's what I wanted.
That's so
It's like,
cool.
it's a life lesson in sometimes we give up on things before they're about to get good, and that's part of the process, So that is something that has been really coming forward for me in that practice.
Do you do a process of self-reflection of like, wow, Jennifer, like, wow, Jen, just holding yourself like, I'm so proud of you for trying and stretching yourself and growing in that way.
You know what? I actually haven't, but I have like felt my inner child feeling more playful as a result. It's like I'm letting her do the thing she wanted to do, So that's a piece where, it's like, what did you want to do that you didn't fully lean into? And that gift is waiting, right?
It's a great invitation. So right there, I mean, for anyone listening who's wanting to open the door to possibly play in their life, I think a lot of what you just said is the invitation. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, I think you know what? Anything can be art. Follow this beautiful hairstylist that lives in Mexico, and his name is Salsita. And his when he does hair, it's art. He looks at it the way you look at leaves on a tree, and he literally is sculpting, and he's called the Hairlosopher,
Oh my gosh.
and preaching these philosophies as he's doing hair, and it is an immersive experience, and it's because that is a form of art. Play is a form of art. Dance is a form of art. My sister doesn't think she's creative. I don't know anyone who can put on a spread of food like she can and
That's
make it look
cool.
like nothing. And I'm like, but that is your creativity.
That is. It certainly is. And I like what you're saying too, because knowing you and knowing like the road you've traversed in terms of what you've studied and been interested in, you have a background, you're trauma informed of working with trauma. And that's what I say it a million times on this podcast, but something about the original foundation was that joy and healing would not only could, but would co-occur in the same space. And I think that when I went through my cancer journey, I found that. And I found that there were like the lower aspects of it, but there were the higher, and I always thought after I went through it, like I wanted to like write an article, like what I lost and what I gained, because they were sort of equal to one another, it felt like. And so that was just a foundational aspect of this, and this is what you're saying, is like, yeah, you love this work of healing and helping someone through, what they've been through, and you'll show them the way that the play is possible and seeing the gifts is possible. And so that's just really thrilling.
It's interesting, I have a teacher who, from the School of Metaphysical Practice, and she said, heaven is here on earth. And that is a frequency we can anchor into. And these changes really just a change in perception. It
And
really is. And it depends on which glasses we're going to put on for the day. And sometimes we are having a hard time, but then also appreciating those hard times because they're the doorways, something else. And then getting that tenderness, then when you see people that are constantly kind of in that state, you can really feel for them. You can really
Absolutely.
hold a lot of space.
And I think knowing that when we're, it's been my experience going through the challenging times or the things that we're just, it's part of our soul's contract, I think, to be moving through, that we will come out, it feels like higher, that we will come out with new perspective. And we're watching each other do this thing called life, right? And we tune into the people who seem to have messages that just feel resonant on some level of our soul.
I love that so much. It's so true. It's so true. And it's exciting too. It's exciting, and you're going to put up with a few middle fingers along the way, but it is for our greatest good,
In terms of how you, I think you're a person who just lives and breathes that what you're saying today. And so by that alone, you become, if you're showing up more in that being, in that authenticity with your clients, with your friends, with your colleagues, that is felt. And also that's what I'm saying about who you are, is I have a feeling that you have this knowledge, you know these things, you know it because you've lived it. That things can be gifts and stuff. And I have a feeling the way that you offer it to another is gentle, and there's sensitivity in it, and it allows someone to be guided, but not by any sort of pushing or like pushing an agenda.
No, I'm not afraid to sit with someone and have them cry the whole session and have it just be that and feel care for them in that moment, because sometimes that's necessary. It's part of it. Like the body, the mind, spirit, it needs to complete its cycle. It needs to feel it all. That's what it's, and like even grief, when you really sit with your grief, it is beautiful. All of it is beautiful.
What have you just mentioned the metaphysical. Is would you say that that's in the last couple of years like a newer part of your practice in working with individuals?
Okay, so I think it started with I did the neurobehavioral model training because I wanted to understand how my daughter's brain was working. and how it was affecting her behavior and her world and the things that, I thought she should be doing versus, what she was actually capable of in the moment. And I really wanted to really have a better understanding of her life experience so I could support her properly, right? Because we were getting these psychoeducational assessments and she was being seen by groups of specialists and child development teams, but I didn't feel closer to her. I didn't feel like I knew her. When she'd come home and melt down after school, I didn't know why. I didn't link brain function to what was being asked of her and then see how it was burning her out. And then I didn't know how to hold space for her properly. And like I said, there were many different things that happened in parenting on the journey. And then from there, then I was like, okay, like I want to be a parenting coach too. Like I want to be a better parent. I want to show up for her better. I want to help parents that have kids that have special needs. So I did Shefali's course, but something was still missing for me. I was like, I don't feel the level of understanding and compassion yet. So then the rabbit hole continued. It was like I went and did the compassionate inquiry training, and then I went and did Susie Lula's soul care training. So and Susie, so beautiful. I mean, talk about giving you a beautiful inner voice. Like if you take
Absolutely.
nothing else from working with her, she will give you the most loving mother voice inside of you. Like
Absolutely.
if you've never had that, she's there to mirror that to you, and it's gorgeous. But then, you know what? I still just felt afraid all the time, like afraid of everything, and being a single mom and so many things that had happened. I really just felt afraid. I felt afraid of taking the next steps. And I was also aware of a lot of, mystical things that were showing up in my world, and also my daughter's psychic abilities were in very plain sight. And so I knew there was something more. And just, some of the encounters that I had had and the things that I would just preconceive before they even happened. And then it would be right in front of my face. And then there was this opportunity to join the Institute of Intuitive Intelligence. And so I did that. And that was really empowering and incredible. But I still, was on this relentless search, and I was like having some physical limitations and challenges. And I was like, I want to know more on an energetic level and through science what it actually means to do energetic work and how this is actually changing the frequencies in my body, how this is upgrading things. I wanted to know more, and I wanted more processes, and I wanted to take it deeper. And so I joined the School of Metaphysical Practices, and that was beautiful. And it was like, okay, now you're gonna get really clear about hearing your spirit guides. You're gonna get really clear about understanding all of the different elements of heaven and earth, because it's not just earth elements. There are a multitude of cosmic elements that we can tap into.
Very cool.
And so this is a segue into a completely different conversation, but needless to say, it has supported my parenting so much, because now I have the ability to hear what is actually going on deeper and underneath what's happening with my child without us having a conversation, because sometimes she can't, especially with having speech and language delay. Sometimes she doesn't totally know what she's feeling because of slower processing. And it's like, I can just go and be in my heart and feel tenderness and love towards her and connect with her and ask what's deeper. I can immediately hear what's going on, and it has never been wrong. And it's like, can I offer that gift, to parents that you do know? It's maybe it's not in the book, because oftentimes there isn't a book on our kids. They're so unique,
Absolutely. And I feel like that practice that you just described, it's for all of us, right? I'm thinking about my own children and it's like you're saying, like that comfort with sitting in the silence, but also there's something going on where there's an actual connection. And a lot, I love that you now have that training so you can, be with your own child, but also guide others, because I think that this is the part of the future of where we're going. And people are going to hear this and it's going to expose them. Oh, wow, what is she talking about? There's something more here for me. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think the next wave of parenting is going to be intuitive parenting.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, because that's what nature does. Mothers know, they know instinctively what to do.
Yeah.
Like we
That's
know,
really
there's a part of
cool.
us that really already knows.
I think, like when you said earlier, the heaven on earth, and then what you're saying now reminds me of how it's predicted that the new earth is already on the way. And I think that that's, I think Arianna Mesplay was the one who told me about Diana Cooper's The New Earth, her book. And I have a feeling if I go open it to the chapter on parenting, that what you're saying is probably in there because there's so much that's falling away, that's crumbling right now. And I also want to offer too that I think a lot of us are whatever's going on with the fire horse here, we're moving through. We're just releasing things that were, part of, they're in our body, they're in our cellular makeup, and they're calling to be released. And just the allowance and the being with them and the slowing down and the softness and the tenderness that you're describing. I love it.
And I think too, there's a big push with all the fire horse energy. And I think the invitation is to just be kind to your horse as it's gaining momentum. Horses, they will literally run themselves to death. And we don't need to do that.
Oh, thank you.
We don't. Like, get into the momentum of it, enjoy it, let it expand, but do it at a rate that you have capacity to do it.
Yeah,
Don't
right.
run your horse to death.
And bring things in that are going to help you recalibrate and reset your nervous system. The play, the art, the I love your morning chef routine
Oh
right
my goodness.
now. How
Mariana,
fun.
yes, we'll do a podcast with Mariano soon, I'm sure. But something to add to that is make a list for yourself. Make a list of the things that make you feel like yourself, that make you feel free, that make you feel grounded. Make yourself a list of the things that are really inner resource building for yourself. Because when we get into these low places, or we're really struggling, or we're stressed, we don't remember. We don't remember the practices that are carrying us through. And so having that list for yourself, it's like, oh, okay, yes, this playlist. I'll spend a little bit of time with it.
That's what I know. Yeah, that reminds me. I love that. I like the way you said it, the inner resource building, because you can even see when there's someone going through a difficult time, but then they tap into something that they love. It's almost like breaking, like it, another, going to another frequency right away. And I think the woman, Alethea, I was saying, I think after we hit stop recording the other day, we were talking about this. And she was saying, and I don't think it's not the bypassing, because what we're talking about today is really the allowance too, but it's also the knowing that that's there, that there are these different ways to see things, that they're to come back up to that really fulfilled way of feeling, more expansive, you can say higher frequency, however you want to say it. And then the more we kind of like go back and forth, but the more we go up there, it's like, I don't know, we're learning how, and that's the heaven on earth.
Yeah, it just gets easier and easier to tap into that place the more time that you spend there. We're meant to be human too, and we're messy. We just are. We
We
really
are.
are. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay. That's part of it, right? That's what the beauty in that as well.
I
There it is.
know. Absolutely. Jennifer, before you share where people can find you, I always ask these days of any sort of parting message that's coming through you, or just, and I want to start taking these and just like pulling them, because it's just really, I feel like it's channeled usually. But anything that you feel that hasn't been said yet, or that wants to come through, just to leave with the audience.
I think what's coming through is just that, the hard experiences that we go through are the ones that will transform us the most and will actually lead us the most home to ourselves. And they are what makes our life rich. They are what connects us. They are what help us move and change and experience the world in new ways. And they're invitations. Invitations to treat yourself better, invitations to treat each other better.
Thank you for that. It's a beautiful place to just kind of finish our conversation today. What is the best place to find you? Social media, a website?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website at illuminatedfamilies.com or Illuminated Family Services on Instagram. So both of those offerings are there. My Instagram channel is pretty new, so but please reach out if you have any feedback or any questions. I am always happy to be in touch with people. And the last thing I just want to say, like if you are a parent with a child with special needs, lean into learning energy work because you need those extra resources. You need the extra energy.
Okay, that's
And find
wonderful,
out how to do
wonderful.
it for yourself. Like for myself, I train parents so that they can have the tools at home within themselves. They don't have to go for Reiki. They don't have to leave the house because sometimes that's just not accessible.
Yes. I agree with that.
And again, that's
Absolutely.
another gift, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for everything, Jennifer. Thanks for being with us today. And
Oh,
we'll
thank you
see.
so much.
Yes, it's so fun. We'll see the listener in the next episode. And that's it for today.
Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.